Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Milwaukee, stand up, yeah.
It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope, yeah. Tory Lowe from 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, let's go. We bout that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back. We ready, we ready.
101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe. Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we got guests. We got a guest in the building. We got Sarita Valmont, chronic pain coach and wellness consultant in the building. Are you from Milwaukee? Are you born and raised in Milwaukee?
I was born and raised in Milwaukee.
That's what I'm talking about.
Cause oh, yes.
You on Facebook and social media, and you do coaching and you do wellness. And I wanted to bring you in today because I want to talk about wellness and how important it is, self-care. And then I also wanted to talk about that chronic pain coach idea, because I know that when Black women go to hospitals or during pregnancies, and they sometimes their issues with pain gets ignored a lot.
Correct. And it's a huge problem that has been going on for decades.
Let's tackle that. What's going on with that? Like, why do they ignore when women of color say that they're in a certain amount of pain, and they just wave it off as they thinking that they're trying to get drugs?
Right. Well, it's such a loaded question, but at the same time, we're going to go there.
Right.
So it really goes all the way back to, unfortunately, slavery even prior to that, where, unfortunately, we were experimented on. We might have heard about, like, the Henrietta Lacks situation, you know, different things of that manner, where there's different things that have been told about us as far as, for example, even a person, like for us, that our skin is thicker, for example. So therefore, we have a higher threshold for pain. Even when it came down to plantation type situations, when there was, you know, corporal punishment being done, they were, you know, in order for the slave masters and things to be like, hey, I'm going to like try to ease my own mind by saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not really hurting them that bad. I'm just punishing them because their skin and their body can withhold it. They can handle it.
And a lot of the medical ideas were written by Europeans.
Correct.
And so with that being said, it always gives the disadvantage to people of color, blacks, you know, in America, because they were written with the wrong information, because the people who were doing it were trying to justify what they was doing.
Correct. And so that's the hard part as well, too. And it's not even just, you know, blacks as well either. So it's the BIPOC community, you know, in general.
Right.
That whenever, you know, we were coming over here and, you know, whether it's immigration, things of that nature. And of course, even looking at, you know, further history, that's been a lot of what it's been. And even, for example, there was a survey that was done for, and I believe it was like in 2016 or so. That was for first and second year doctors. And they did that survey to see, you know, as far as for what they thought of pain tolerance when it came to people of color, you know, black people in particular. And about close to 40% still thought that we had a higher threshold for pain because our skin was thicker. And that's 2016.
Right.
And that's not even 10 years ago.
And that's trash, because you had situations where you had to go through a lot of pain.
Correct.
And figure this all out.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, my journey is a crazy journey. But nonetheless, I can only imagine what other people are going through as well when it comes to this. And I don't know if we got time to go into the story.
No, go right ahead.
Okay.
We got time. We just may
got time today.
We may have to go to break a little bit. But like I said, when it comes to pain, that's interesting, because you had to go through an experience where you had to face some of the medical ideas and how you made the adjustments.
Absolutely. So I'll go, as I say, long story short, July 4th, 2016, I was rear-ended by a drunk driver at a stoplight. Mm. I was in an area where the speed limit was 25. She was going at least 60. So just that alone.
Wow.
And so from there, I was really a science experiment for close to 2 years, going to all these different doctors and specialists. No one could help me, but they could give me a prescription. And so in the middle of my journey, I was on about roughly 7 or 8 medications. And to put the type of pain I was having in perspective, I was having pain that felt like it was radiating down my shoulder into my hand, also into my upper neck and my back, and then it started to go throughout the rest of my body. Mm. And the type of pain I was experiencing, to try to describe it to you, is that, you know, when your foot falls asleep, you got that pins and needle feeling.
Feel like, I call it that styrofoam feeling.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Like, just like, you know, just like a whole, like a crunchy box or something, you know, just like that. Mm-hmm. But imagine that all over your body and then also feeling like you're on fire at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And so I was on roughly, you know, like an 8 or 9 on the pain schedule, you know, at that point. And I was going, like I said, to see all these different doctors and specialists, and they just were constantly saying, like, oh, you know, one that I had said to me, oh, you don't look like you're in pain. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I asked him, well, what does a person in pain look like? I really want to know. And he said, oh, well, you look too put together.
What?
And so I'm like, okay, so let's take a step back. First of all, I can see that you're not culturally competent, because if you know about our culture, regardless of how bad we're feeling, we're going to still try to put ourselves together in some, you know, some form or fashion.
You're not,
because
just
that's how we're raised.
Down there looking like you got beat down.
Right. Like how I was actually feeling. I'm not going to look like that. I'm going to still, you know, try to do something.
A lot of us do that.
You know, so they're also, you know, right away using that against us.
Oh, wow.
And so that was like one instance. And so with that happening, you know, I ended up finally seeing another specialist, which was a orthopedic surgeon. I was on roughly, you know, like I had to wait to see him for 6 months, and he ran some more tests. And when he was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I started to laugh, because I said, you know, that's all y'all do anyways. If you find something, great. You know, if you don't, it is what it is. And he comes back with the results from the CT and the MRI and said that I had bone chip spurs going into my shoulder, on my right shoulder. And it took them that long just to figure that out versus, you know, they were just throwing medication at me and just saying, hey, you know, we're just going to keep pushing you around to different people. Right. And doping you up and then pushing you around to different people. And so when he said that to me, he was like, well, we need to do surgery right away. And so surgery right away was actually a 4-month wait, which is like, OK, first you say it's right away, but then I have to wait more. And so during that time frame of waiting, unfortunately, my mother fell ill. And my mother fell ill, and about roughly a month before my surgery, my mother transitioned.
So you was going through death in the family at the highest level.
Absolutely.
And trying to manage what's going on with you being in pain.
At the same time. And I'm also an only child, and my parents are married for 55 years. So, of course, my dad completely shut down, and I had to plan everything. So I'm going through that. And the reason why I bring that up is not only because of the fact of that being my mother, but also, too, she was a retired orthopedic nurse. She was actually supposed to come up and take care of me as I was going through the recovery process. So that's like another hit right there, you know, because of that.
You didn't have that support that you thought that you would have.
Absolutely.
Because when you're going through great pain, sometimes you got to rely on your base.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they have a lot of what I call family turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're not going to always go through life like everything is, you know, peaches and cream.
Right.
Tragedy strikes, and now you don't have, for some people, they got to go it alone.
Right, and that's what pretty much ended up happening, because, like with me, I recognized that, you know, I did have a few, you know, good friends. I had some friends that fell off because I realized that they really weren't my friends.
When you needed them the most.
Right, exactly. And that's okay.
Right.
Because, you know, there's, as the saying goes, there's a season, reason, or lifetime. So I've, you know, dealt with that, and that part is okay.
I agree.
You know, but as far as you're moving forward, just making sure that I had a proper base for myself. And even at that time, too, and it's something that I sometimes, you know, mention and sometimes I don't, but I was also in a bad relationship at that time, too. Mm. That I was dating someone that unfortunately turned into a domestic violence situation.
Domestic?
Yes. Where while I was still going through
abuse,
all of
physical abuse.
Correct.
What?
Where I had to get like restraining orders
pain?
And everything. Yes.
What?
So, yes, so I went through a lot
How
in a very short period of time.
How much can you do when you're just laying down?
You know, hey, This person said that they thought I was faking it and that I should be able to go back to work.
And it's your partner?
Supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, that person is, you know, way back in the past.
Right.
Because that's...
But
you
at
know,
the time, you know, this at was that what time, was going on.
This is what was going on. And I think it was just a situation where, unfortunately, you know, that person was able to go ahead and prey upon the situation that was at hand. And because of what I was going through, I wasn't able to really recognize a lot of the quote-unquote red flags that were going on as well, too. Because even prior to that, I gotten divorced. So, you see, I had a lot of stuff that just, like, happened that I
just
really
life.
Wasn't able... Yeah, life was
life.
Life in a major way. So I really had to, you know, go through all these different periods of my life while I'm going through this journey of chronic pain. So as I mentioned, you know, fast forward, I did end up having the surgery. And after I had the surgery to remove the bone chip spurs, all of a sudden, I come to find out that I had lost the motor functions in my right hand. So now I have to
After
the surgery.
So they messed up.
Well, basically, they told me only 3% of the population has that as a, you know, that could be a potential side effect of the surgery, but they did not tell me that. And so, in essence, I end up being part of that 3% of the population that has something like that happen. So I had to go through the process of relearning how to write, brush my teeth, comb my hair, all the stuff you take for granted. And I was still in pain. Mm. So they basically, you know, I asked them, I said, well, what are my options? And they're like, well, you have two options. You can either go into pain management protocol or you can have surgery again. I told them you had one time to touch me. You are never touching me again. We're not going to go ahead and do surgery.
Might mess something else up.
Right. I'm like, we're done on that. So I said, you know what? I'll go into pain management protocol. And so when I went to pain management protocol, for me, unfortunately, was a fancy way of saying, here's your next set of pills. I was now on 15 medications.
What was
upwards
the name
of
the 30
pills a day. They had me on, like, hydrocodone. They had me on
benzos.
Thank you. Benzos as well, too. Mm-hmm. They had me on Lyrica. Let me see here. They didn't have me on Tramadol. They were trying to get me onto that. Trazodone.
Just put them all in the... And you was taking these cocktails. That sounds like a cocktail that could be
detrimental.
Right.
Definitely. And even after I had my surgery, they had even given me this is a wild combination. They had me on Oxy. They had me on another one. I can't even think of the Vicodin. And then they also had me on penicillin.
So they was just throwing pills at you.
Mm-hmm. And the reason being that I ended up finding out once I got into pain management protocol.
I think they do that to a lot of women.
Well, if you don't know, because the thing is that when you're in so much pain, your judgment is shadowed because of the pain.
And you just want to stop the pain.
Absolutely. And you don't know what other options are available to you because you're used to being in a westernized system, which everything is like, hey, you go to the doctor, they give you this, and then you keep going, not seeing like there's actually other natural alternatives that you can do as far as for pain management. And so when that was going on and they gave me, you know, the additional set, at that time, then I basically started to deteriorate even quicker to the point where I was bedridden. And I went to a specialist that looked at me and said, you need to get your power of attorney paperwork together. My son, that was 18 at the time.
From taking all those medications?
Yes.
So the medications was actually killing you?
They're actually making me worse.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're going for a shoulder thing.
Mm-hmm.
A shoulder surgery.
Well, initially, they didn't even know what was going on.
Okay.
So we started there with not knowing what's going on, just seeing that you're in pain. Then it escalated after about close to 2 years to them finally doing the correct testing to discover that I had the bone chip spurs going on. And then from there, everything deteriorated.
So basically, they was just sedating you to die.
Well, sedating me to just keep me quiet.
Right, but it was killing you at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as the effects and everything that's going on in the body, absolutely, because the different medications affect different parts of your body. Your liver, you know, gets affected. Your gut health gets affected as well, too. Your mental health also gets affected with it as well because of what's going on. So there's so many different segments of your life that gets impacted based off the medications.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. And you know, I see that many times when our young women who don't understand, they get caught up in taking these medications. They get hooked on these medications.
Right.
Then when they have a child, they use it against them and say that the child was born you know, in a certain way, and they start getting flagged.
Which is crazy because it's like you're taking the prescription that was given to you by a doctor that knows that you are currently pregnant and, you know, and everything like that. And still that happens because I saw that even before my situation, because I have a mom of three. And I saw that happen when I was in the hospital, you know, giving birth to my children. Even when I had my son, my oldest, I witnessed that. Well, they didn't flag me. I saw someone get flagged.
Right. I was, you know, dealing with a lot of the mothers that were getting flagged because they were on certain medications. And then somehow it played a factor in them actually ultimately losing their child.
That is, and that's the sad part, because that goes back to what I was saying before. You don't know how to advocate for yourself because you're like, well, wait a minute. I think I'm doing the right thing because I'm taking this prescription that was given to me, not knowing what the ramifications can be. So I'm always a person where now that I, of course, you know, hindsight's 2020. So it's like now that I know this, you know, anything that's being discussed, I go ahead and I start researching. You know, at this point, I'm not on, and of course, we'll get to that, but I'm not on any medications or anything, you know, as at this time, you know, right now.
Well, we're going to continue the conversation when we get back. Truth Nation, we in the building with Sarita Vowman, chronic pain coach and wellness consultant. When we come back, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's keep zoning, let's keep floating, let's keep 1017 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We in the building with Sarita Vowman. She's a chronic pain coach and wellness consultant.
Yes.
Thank you for coming through on this Friday.
No, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Because there's a lot of people out there in pain.
Yes.
And I don't, you know what? I don't think we listen to our own people when they say that something's going on with them. I think that we have to start paying a little bit closer attention to when people say that something is wrong or something, I'm in pain, and actually start becoming a resource for each other.
Well, absolutely. But also, too, even listening to ourselves, because we have a tendency of being like, because we're in this capitalist system in society, we're like, OK, I got to pay, you know, I got to pay my bills. I got to take care of my kids. I got to take care of my family and everything. So we start to ignore and neglect our bodies, and our bodies are telling us things on a regular basis. And we just ignore them, because the thing is that pain is a symptom. It's not actually just, you know, the thing.
It's a symptom. It's saying that something is wrong.
Correct. And it's basically like I call it an alarm. You know, like when you wake up in the morning, you have your alarm that wakes you up. It's the same. Pain is a similar thing, where if you're not paying attention to the warning signs that are going on, one day you're not going to be able to get out the bed, because you're just basically, you know, kind of going on like, OK, I'll take an Aleve, I'll take an ibuprofen, I'll do whatever. And then you go to a specialist and they're like, OK, well, now we need to start running tests. And then it's test after. And it just is like, you know, it's just this domino effect. But then oftentimes they don't go back to, OK, what initially happened when the pain began? And sometimes it can be something emotional that can trigger the pain as well, too, where if you haven't processed different emotions, they can manifest in the body and come out as physical pain and physical ailment as well, too.
How did you heal?
How did I heal?
How did you heal yourself? Because you're going through all this pain. They got you taking all this medication.
Correct.
You're trying to figure it out. Mother passed away. Relationship seeming
it's
like
trash.
It's causing more harm than good. Domestic. How did you heal through all of that?
I'll be honest with you, because I'm going to be going into some trigger warnings and stuff, too, that at that point I was at my lowest. I was dealing with anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And so what ended up happening is, like I mentioned, with them telling me that, you know, my son needed to be my caretaker, you know, at that time. The next day I dropped my two younger kids to school. My son was already driving, of course, you know, so he's able to take himself to school. And I ended up just sitting there and I had a complete mental breakdown. I started crying, screaming, praying, meditating, just asking for some sort of a sign. And all of a sudden, my phone dings. And I'm like, okay, whatever, it's just a message. But then I stopped. I said, no, this is a deeper message. Why haven't you researched the different things that you have been diagnosed with?
The symptoms.
To see, you know, what's going on. So at that point, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, myofascial pain syndrome, degenerative disc disease in my neck, chronic migraines, and nerve damage.
And you found this out by searching the symptoms.
Oh, well, that's what my diagnoses were.
Okay, so you had the diagnosis.
So now
then you started doing your own research.
Right, absolutely. So the first thing I did was let me look at fibromyalgia. That was the first one I wanted to go ahead and dive in, because I said, if I can be at least 1% better than I am right now, mm-hmm. I will take that. Because at that point, like I said, I was at my lowest. And so I started off looking at my nutrition and my diet. And when I say nutrition and diet, I'm not just talking about what I'm putting in my mouth. I'm also talking about the people around me, establishing boundaries, the emotional side of things. And so, of course, that's when I had to start getting rid of people.
How do you get rid of people? Because everybody say, I'm going to cut you off. They never, if you're close to people, you just can't just, I'm not going to pick up the phone again, because they're still in your life. They don't know. So how do you cut them off?
You have a conversation.
What's the proper way to cut somebody off?
Having a conversation.
Like, I don't want to see you no more. I don't want you
around. Just saying like, hey, you know what? I'm in a different space in my life right now. I have to go ahead and make some changes in my life. And I'm recognizing that there's a common denominator here, that when I'm looking at things and how I'm feeling and different things like that, I have to dive deeper into myself and see why I feel the way about certain things. But for you, you might be a trigger to me, or you're not, treating me the way that I want to be treated. And I've given you opportunities to treat me properly, and you've chosen not to. So now I have to go ahead and make the decision that we have to go in a different direction.
Well, if y'all living together, right?
If you're living, see, my, my situation was different. I had to get a restraining order to get this person out of my house.
I got you. But what I'm saying is, I want you to elaborate, because many times detaching yourself from certain people at a distance is easier than detaching yourself from somebody that's maybe on top of you, like a relationship, and y'all living together, and y'all have a situation where y'all got, a living quarters, and then you say, hey, look, I want to move on. Like, then that becomes a huge thing. And it can also turn into abuse, because the other person may not be ready to let go.
And that's another hard part, too, because like I mentioned, even prior to this happening, I am divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I was divorced, a year and a half prior to that whole, situation occurring. And so when it came to my divorce, I recognized that me and him were just not growing together. We grew apart. And it was time for us to go ahead have that conversation. And so we had that conversation, and it was hard because, he still wanted us to be able to go ahead and try to work things
out.
Get
some counseling.
And we tried all that. We did all the things, and it still just was a matter of we are better at being parents.
I gave my life to God.
Yeah, I mean, we're better at being parents than we are.
I'm going to start going to church.
Yeah, and that's like, it's not working.
What?
It's like, you can try all these different things, but it's like, okay, at the end of the day, if it's going to work or if it's not.
Right.
It's just more or less being able to stand within your boundaries. Because there are people that are, they waver. Because they're like, I had this time with this person.
Especially if you got kids.
Yeah, and even with that, though, too, you have to be very, because like I said, I have three kids. And, there was a time where there were certain, conversations that were had that weren't, the positive ones. And, of course, I'm not here to bash my ex-husband because he's an amazing father, to the kids.
Co-parenting is amazing.
Our co-parent, and that was a journey within itself, too. But we are good now where I could text him right now and be like, hey, and he'd be like, all right, I got it, or whatever. Are you good?
It's supposed to be.
Right. Because we are able to go ahead and separate the emotional aspects of it and recognize that. So, it's really being able to stand within your boundaries. And if you decide that you're making this decision, that's going to be the best for you, that's going to put you into a healthy situation, you have to be able to go ahead and stand on, as people are saying, stand on business. You got to stand on business when it comes to you deciding that your health and your mental health is more important than being in a abusive relationship.
And when you talk about women having children, being separating from the father, sometimes in that transition, they have to reconfigure their whole life.
Oh, absolutely. They both have to.
Right. But sometimes the woman takes the children with her. It's not as sometimes when the men go, they don't. Well, I see a lot more men getting their children now. Mm-hmm. But Wisconsin is a woman's state. If the woman is already going to have the kids with her,
unless there's a severe situation
extremely going on. So to me, that's a whole new thing. How did the children cope with the split? How all of that has to go on as well.
Correct. And also, too, making sure that the children get assistance as well, too, because, you know, whether they need to get, you know, start to see therapists and different things of that nature as well, too. That's also another aspect of it as well. But I mean, like I said, things are, you know, definitely glad that my ex-husband and I were able to go ahead and work through that whole entire thing in a respectful way.
Salute.
You know,
that's powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I have so many people that tell me, always, and they come in and ask me, you know, as far as for how did I go through and do it. But then I also have to remind them about staying on business, because sometimes I still like to let people come back. And, you know,
hey,
they want that old thing back.
And
it's like, you got to separate the whole piece. You can't just be like, well, I just want this one thing that you can do for me.
Right.
And we know what we're talking about.
Facts.
And then let you be, because it's like, now you're muddy in the waters.
Okay.
Now you're getting, you know, you already have an emotional tie and bond with this person. And if you're looking at separating that, you have to be able to separate that completely.
And it says it takes 21 days to make a habit, 21 days to break a habit.
You know what? I would even say 90 days.
90 days?
They say to be able to go through and like have a complete change, 90 days. 21, you start to establish that habit.
Okay.
But to be able to go ahead and completely be like, yeah, I'm on it, 90 days.
So how did you get the pain? How do you relieve your pain?
Well, going back to, as I was mentioning, like nutrition, as far as like what I'm eating. So I went dairy-free, gluten-free, anti-inflammatory lifestyle. As far as with what I'm actually eating, I'm a big water person. You know, I came in here with my water, you know, and everything as well, too. I'm very mindful of what I'm putting into my body, just because I know that there's different. I see how sensitive my body became. And that was especially because of the, you know, the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. It makes your body very sensitive to a lot of different things, even different scents, lotions, things like that, which, you know, side note, I have a Bang & Body Butters is what I also make, too, because I have a self-care line.
So you
line.
Make your own stuff.
So I make my own stuff. So then that way I don't have to worry about my skin and things like that breaking out, because I do organic plant-based, you know, items that I make because I recognize that. But then another thing I also do, too, is I reincorporated movement back into my life. Because prior to my accident, I actually was working out 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the orthopedic surgeon had said to me, he was like, because of how fit you were at the time of the accident, you actually should have broken your shoulder. And I was like, well, that sounds good, but I feel like you're trying to minimize my pain, because I'm like, I'm still in a lot of pain and you guys are still trying to figure things out and it's not working. So that was another thing that I also did, too. I also worked through my trauma. Because like I mentioned, I had a lot of stuff happen in a very short period of time. I haven't even said everything that happened. That was just like, a little bit.
You might have to put it all in a book.
Oh, that's another thing I'm working on, because I do have a book that I did with Ed Hennings called The Comeback Anthology, where I have a chapter in there that I share my comeback from chronic pain, but I wasn't able to go in depth like I want to with my own book. And so with that, I actually won an award from doing that book as well, too, back in 2021.
How do women get help facing chronic pain? If a woman is listening to this show right now and they're in chronic pain and they're going through some of the similar ideas that you had to go through to figure it out, where should they start to get healing or to get in the right direction, to move themselves in the right direction?
Well, one thing is establishing what chronic pain actually is. So chronic pain is any pain in your body that lasts more than 3 months. So if you're noticing that this has been going on a steady, you know, stream and it's getting worse for 3 months, you want to go ahead and actually, you know, reach out to us. And I know even though I was talking about specialists, you do want to reach out to a specialist, or you want to also, you know, look into getting testing and things like that done based off the area in which you're noticing the pain. Also to reaching out to, you know, coaches like myself, where we can go ahead and kind of give you even just some guidelines of things to ask or questions to ask, so that way you're able to go ahead and advocate for yourself. That's another thing as well, too. But then also a piece that's not really talked about is looking at how you were doing emotionally at that time when that pain started, too. Because sometimes it might just be that something has occurred, whether it's a stressor or something to that effect, that's been going on for quite some time, might now have triggered a pain in your body. And that kind of goes back to what I was mentioning to you with this emotional pain chart that I was telling you about, you know, as well, where there's different emotions that are tied to different parts of our body. And that's not something that's widely talked about. And so there's always an emotional component that also comes into the physical component as well.
Hey, look, when we come back, I want to get your information. I want Truth Nation to have your information, how they can contact you, how they can keep up with you. We don't talk about it. We hide our pain a lot.
Yeah, That's what we were trying to do. That's the thing. And it's like, we have to stop doing that, because it's the same thing when we're talking more and more about mental health. This also happens. This is affecting mental health. It's like it's a big hamster wheel. You know, when you really look at it, all these pieces end up coming together.
Sarita Vowman in the building, chronic pain coach and wellness consultant. When we come back, we're going to have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Saving the Truth, Tory Lowe Show, in studio with Sarita Vowman, chronic pain coach, wellness consultant.
Yes, sir.
How can we keep up with you, first of all? Give everybody your information.
All my socials. So I'm definitely going to give my social media. So more active. I'm kind of, it's a toss up nowadays, because I'm kind of active. I've been more active on my Facebook than I have been on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But my Instagram is at I am chronically resilient. All one word. If you even start putting in the I am and the CH, you're going to see a girl with a blue dress. Mm-hmm. That's me. Also, too, if you go on to Facebook, just my name, Sarita Vowman. On there as well, too. You can also go to my website, which is IamChronicallyResilient.com, where I do have information out there. I have info as far as if you want to set up a consultation with me. I have information for my course that I'm getting ready to release next month, which is called The Alleviation Agenda, which that is an 8-week intro to holistic pain management that I'm doing virtually. And each week I'm teaching something in regards to chronic pain. And the goal with it is at the very end, you'll have your own personalized pain management program for yourself. Because it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, and it's giving the time frame to actually try out the different techniques that I'm also providing to you as well, so you can see what works for you. And I also want people to have a small, you know, because it's going to be small, you know, I don't want to have really more than 10 to 15 people in it, because I want to make sure that we are keeping it intimate, that we're keeping it, you know, judgment-free and confidential as well, too. Because we need support. And like I said before, you know, we are able to heal better in community. And so we're able to go ahead and also bounce things off of each other as well, too. And I allow, you know, it's going to be about roughly like an hour for the time frame. And then I'll also allow some Q&A. And then they'll also be getting some, you know, and I'm using in quotes loosely, but assignments that they're able to go ahead and do. But the reason why they're going to be doing those assignments is so that then they can go ahead and, like I said before, see what works the best for them.
Well, we got some people in the chat on 1017 The Truth on YouTube, and we going live. Oh. So if y'all want to see Sarita live, hey, head over to 1017 The Truth on YouTube as we broadcast live. Barbara Smith says, I'm shaking my head yes to everything Ms. Vowman is saying. Women are more likely to suffer from chronic pain. Mm-hmm. They suffer from more immune diseases,
yes,
which is the main source of chronic pain.
That is definitely a source of it as well, too. And it's so much that's happening. And thank you for saying that as well, too, because that we're on the truth. That is the truth.
Right.
You know, and that's the hard part. But the thing is, the good news is that we have to make sure that we are advocating and that we are speaking up for ourselves. If something doesn't sound right, that is your intuition telling you to ask a question. And sometimes, you know, we've been taught not to speak up. I know I was raised as being a child should be seen and not heard. And sometimes that makes it difficult, even when you're growing up and becoming an adult, to be able to speak up for yourself. Right. But I often say that, you know, even if your voice shakes, even if there's a quiver,
because you
still
so
got to get out. Right. You're so, but you got to get it out, because in that way they know that, oh, wait a minute, she's paying attention. She's actually being active, because the thing is that when you're going to see these different doctors and specialists, this is supposed to be a partnership. A lot of times it's being treated as a dictatorship.
Right. I'm going to tell you what to do,
what you're going to take. And often, too, they unfortunately haven't gone through what you're going through. So they're, in essence, practicing medicine. And I'm not down, you know, talking to different specialists, because there are some that are very good, that do know, that do pay attention, that do listen. Right. And I have a couple of doctors that do listen to me. And that's part of the reason why, unfortunately, I kind of got into that, you know, that plethora of, you know, specialists and things, but it was because my primary care physician was listening to me. And he was saying, I agree with you. Something's not right. You've been my patient for like over 20 years. We need to find out what's going on. And I even had a situation with him that he actually, the last time I saw him, he apologized to me. And I was actually surprised. And I said to him, I was like, you know, it's not your fault. I said, you were doing what you were, you know, trying to do because this was outside of your scope, you know, of things. But he said also, too, at the same time, though, too, this is not how it should have went.
Now, somebody's asking in the chat, what is your diet? Did you, when you switched up your diet, what did you do? They wanted you to repeat that because they heard some inklings of what you had to do as food. But when you're in chronic pain and things like that, what should you do as a diet?
Well, the one thing is I often recommend like an elimination diet because the one thing is that there's certain foods that actually cause inflammation in the body. So, for example, beef is something that actually it takes a long time for it to digest in your body. But it also can some people's bodies just aren't, you know, built for that. So they might notice like swelling and things like that or, you know, some of the itis. Those are different things that are actually
like falling asleep.
Right. Because the thing is, the word itis actually is short for inflammation. And so for anything.
I never knew what the itis was. So I thought the itis was like when you eat too much and then you get tired.
But the thing is, but that's a result of your body being inflamed.
What?
So that's all. So that's what I'm saying. This is stuff that we're not really talking about, you know?
Hey,
so that's why now.
I learned something new today, DJ Brother Z. When you got the itis, that means that it's
your
inflammatory.
It's inflammatory.
Wow.
And the thing is that, you know, you want to be able to go ahead and reduce the inflammation in your body. So that's why I mentioned, you know, I went dairy free.
I thought that meant that you ate some good food.
I mean, like, I'm a food snob.
Like, you know, when you get tired, you know when they say when you eat something and you get tired? We thinking like, okay, that was good. I'm tired now.
But it's also based on how much and what it also is too.
Okay.
But and also to like where your nervous system is at the time. So that's another conversation,
right,
you know, as well too. But I went dairy free because dairy happens to cause have some contributions to inflammation. I also went gluten free because that's something else that also can, you know, lend towards inflammation as well too. Fast food, processed food. Those are things that also leads to inflammation in the body as well. You know, different snacks and things of that nature, too. So there are things that you want to be able to go ahead and really look at, because the saying is that if you look at a food label, if you can't pronounce the stuff that's on there, you probably shouldn't be putting it in your body. In the ingredients, you probably shouldn't be putting it in your body.
Well, I ain't going to be eating nothing.
But unless it's quinoa, because I know a lot of people can't pronounce quinoa, but that's still.
When I read the ingredients, I kind of know, like, certain things are not good for you, but, like, sometimes it's like these words are so long, and we don't even know what they even mean.
And then don't eat something that you don't know what it means.
What?
You know, them Flamin' Hots. Yeah, y'all gotta let them Flamin' Hots. God love y'all.
With the red 40
that causes cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, that stuff. We don't talk about the different things that are in food that are causing other things.
I was talking to Elizabeth Brown the other day, and we were talking about how everything has something in it now.
Yeah. Like, you got to be more careful.
Yeah, it's things out here like we think that it's okay, like even when they talk about almond milk, when they talk about different things.
So I just gave you some blueberry muffins.
Oh, you just gave me some blueberry muffins?
But theoretically, back should say blueberry muffins
look
and nothing else.
Look at all the ingredients.
What's on the back of that?
Ecolepidepidepidu.
I don't know. It's like over 45 things on this ingredient list.
And you should really be looking for something that's like three or less. Six to less,
give or take. And these supposed to be blueberry
They're supposed to be healthy for
you. Blueberry mini muffins.
Yeah, and look at all the stuff that's in there. I bet you there's a red number something in there, too.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't eat this because I don't even know what the words are.
Look, and he's passing it to me right now, y'all. I'm going to actually,
That's what I'm saying.
Monocalcium phosphate. We got soy lectin. We got, xanthan gum isn't too terrible.
I don't know what that is.
You know, we got a lot of different things.
I just want the blueberry muffin.
Yeah, and it's not. And you got egg, milk, soy, wheat, you know, all those different things. And that's the part, too, that you got to be able to go ahead and look at. And that's wild.
We're going to get this. And some people get this to their kids.
Well, that's another thing. Like, when people are talking about, you know, kids having, like, ADHD and different things like that as far as for in school and why they're not sitting down, you're giving them sugary cereal. Mm. You're giving them, you know, juice. Basically, and I know I'm naming brands, so I probably should stop. So certain juices that have a lot that aren't really juice, that are just like a lot of, you know, sugar in them and well. And then you're sending them to school and you're thinking they're supposed to sit down and learn. They can't, you know, they can't learn because their bodies are not able to because they're hyped up off of sugar. And if, you know, if you see some of the research that's coming from sugar, sugar has the same effects of the body as crack cocaine.
What? Yeah, it's from the same plant.
Correct.
Damn.
So you're giving this to these kids. You're sending them to school.
But breakfast is the healthiest meal of the day.
But it's also breaking your fast.
I want the Cocoa Puffs.
You want some fruit. You want something that's going to be natural to your body.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa
yeah,
Puffs.
Yeah, I want all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you're going to be running around with them Cocoa Puffs.
They was telling the truth.
Yes.
You might be cuckoo after you eat it.
Yeah, because of the sugar.
Oh, wow.
So, yes.
Right in your face.
Mm-hmm. So you got to, you know, look at those different things. And also, too, even looking at the different fruits and vegetables, because for myself personally, I choose organic because a lot of the pesticides and things that are being sprayed on the food, that also ends up affecting your body as well, too.
Right. But they saying that now that the vegan ideas have processed.
Well, that's
just as much as the regular food.
Well, that's once again goes back to having to read the labels, because a lot of times, like when you're looking at things, you know, if you go plant based, which is more or less stating that you are looking at the fruits and vegetables and
right.
things of that nature, and that you're staying away from the process, like the Impossible Burgers and different things like that. And not to say if you are reading those, some of them are, I don't want to say them in particular, but there are different ones that are actually organic. Like me, I still eat chicken, but the chicken I get is organic chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat an organic turkey burger. So that's the way that I go ahead and kind of flip it. I don't really do too much grains because I know me and I'm a thick lady here. So I'm
saying okay.
So those things have a tendency to go down to the lower portion of my body. And I know that it also slows me down. So it's really being able to pay attention to your body. So that's why I say, you know, doing elimination diets, but eliminating the things that are like the top things that cause inflammation is a big piece that can help you out. And then going from there and seeing how your body's reacting, because I often have like my clients, for example, do what we call a food journal and actually writing down like, okay, you ate, what did you eat? And then look at yourself a half an hour later. How are you feeling?
Well, look, I want to give you the last words because we got to run a break. It was a powerful segment with you when it comes to chronic pain, and I didn't even get to the wellness because I wanted to ask some stuff because I need to have some what they call self-care ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we can hold her over.
Yes.
Stick around?
I can definitely stick around a little bit longer.
Because I
want
to get into the wellness.
Yes.
Hey, look, we got bills to pay. Hey, look, when we come back, we're going to keep Sarita around for another segment. Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.